We are just taking over all of Northern Nevada. It's KKFT, the Monica J Show. Talk lines are open at 884-9910. And as always, Monica at 991fmtalk.com. I love educating people, and that is one of my favorite emails when I get it from DJ or from Julie or anybody who writes in and says, I learned something today. I didn't know that. I didn't know we had that service. I didn't know what was going on. So those are my favorites. I'm glad. Well, that and that one that said, you know, F you and your stations, Republicans, or, you know, blah, blah. That was pretty fun. That was entertaining and made my day, too, though. But you might remember that I told you the other day, IHOP in Carson City has closed. And they're going to bulldoze the location. And for those of you who are as old as I am, know what happened at IHOP a few years back. We have tragedies happen. Remember back even further than that, we had the air race tragedy. Those make the news. People know what's going on. That's all you hear about. But a head-on collision is a tragedy. Somebody being in an accident or breaking into somebody's home and somebody get hurt, that's a tragedy. It's a personal tragedy. How does that make you feel? We have pictures of the gentleman who had his car firebombed on Sunday. And the look on his face when he's getting a hug from someone is just, it's traumatic. Can you imagine if you were sitting in your vehicle and somebody intentionally threw a Molotov cocktail into it? Don't you think that you'd be a little bit traumatized? Or even if you saw something? Trauma comes in so many forms. And I want to introduce you to a woman that if you don't know her, you should. And her name's Gabrielle Totten. And she runs an organization that is just incredible. Now, you might have heard of TIP, but did you know that that stands for the Trauma Intervention Program? Gabrielle, thank you so much for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I love the fact that you're here. I've talked to you many times before, and yes. I know your work, and it's amazing. And thank you for reaching out to me on Facebook when my big moose passed away.
Yeah,
last month.
I'm so sorry.
Trauma comes in so many different forms, though.
Yeah.
What is the process and the purpose behind the Trauma Intervention Program?
We essentially train citizen volunteers to respond on scene with our law enforcement, firemen, hospital staff, REMSA, medical support services. So basically all emergency responders. And the goal of our volunteers is basically to provide some emotional and practical support to the survivors left behind after tragedy has occurred. Also to benefit hopefully the emergency responders, provide them a little barrier of protection in terms of the protecting them from dealing with the direct emotions of all that goes on those scenes. Because as you mentioned in your introduction, it's pretty intense on those scenes. People, you don't know how you're going to respond to something like that until it happens to you. And so what starts out is like, oh, no big deal, it's just a little car wreck, is a big deal to the people involved.
Yeah, well, that and it's a big deal to the people responding. First responders, whether it be law enforcement or paramedics, they're not robots.
Right.
We all have feelings. Mm-hmm. And you don't know when you roll up on that car accident that maybe there was a baby involved, right, or a child. And these people are parents also.
Right.
You know, they're husbands, they're wives. Even though they are professional and have to keep it together, that trauma is still there.
Exactly. Yeah. We all go into these calls thinking, no big deal, I got this. But the truth of the matter is that sooner or later you will come on to a scene where you are affected by it. You somehow at some level relate to what is going on, whether it is, oh, I have a child this age, this is how my mom died, this is what I experienced before, I've been in an accident like this. I've been robbed before, right? Those are all things that if it becomes personal, it affects you much deeper than it would if it was just a, oh yeah, this, I can't really relate to this at any level. But we know as emergency responders, that's going to happen sooner or later. You can't go on call after call after call every single day and never come across something that strikes you personally, right?
Speaking of personally, what's the name of that plumbing company that...
Master Service Plumbing?
Master Service Plumbing. How do you go from running a company and having your own company to being involved and taking charge of TIP?
Well, funny story.
Please make it funny. I don't want to cry.
Right?
My nose already started to get that little twitch when I start talking about Tahoe.
Yeah. My husband and I took over Master Service Plumbing back in 2008. And I love the work that we do, and I love running a business and being involved in this community. That is all wonderful. But I still was missing a little something, and a friend of mine, a very dear friend of mine that worked at Reno PD, said, hey, we've got this new program we're trying to get running. Would you be interested? And so this was actually, at this point, we were into 2009, right after the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. And so life at the plumbing shop was pretty stressful. Just keeping the doors open was a trick from day to day. And so I needed something a little brighter in my life. And so when my friend Lori...
So trauma.
Yeah,
that
I know,
was
right?
The brighter spot.
Well, it was the volunteer part, working back in the kind of doing the volunteer side of things,
gotcha.
Right? Giving back to your community.
That's always a bright spot.
Yeah, right. And so that's kind of how I got involved and how Master Service Plumbing got involved, because, I run both of those out of Master Service Plumbing because it's convenient. And because I do that, I can afford, the business covers mm-hmm. my printing and my postage and my office space and my phones and my internet. And so there's a lot of costs that get absorbed just as Master Service Plumbing, because it's going on anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I can just kind of snug in TIP around the side there, and it works for
everybody.
I do
the same thing for Shakespeare Animal Fund.
That's right.
Well, I got a color printer. I can just run these
off. That's right. That's exactly right. So it works well. It works well. But it gave me a good opportunity to kind of get back out into the public sector and do some stuff outside of plumbing.
Well, I know you're not doing this yourself. How do you come by volunteers?
Well, that we are constantly running ads on Facebook, and word of mouth is really our best friend. Conversations like this with you, where people can kind of hear more about the program, what we do, how we do it, why we do it. That's big. So people can kind of wrap their brain around it, because it's hard when you say trauma intervention program, people's minds kind of go in different directions.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean exactly? Trauma intervention? Are you going to?
Are you trying to stop trauma?
Right. You stopping trauma? You doing counseling? What are you doing? We're not doing any of those things. So it's really getting the word out there. That's how we kind of drum up people showing up. And then we do trainings, right? So we have a training that starts next Thursday. It's 32 hours in the class, followed by a 3-month field training. And that's how you take the first step to being a TIP volunteer, is get into that training and do the class.
See, and this is something that I've always wanted to do, but I just don't have, because I do what I do.
Yes.
It conflicts with, being able to go out at a moment's notice.
Right.
What do you do?
So our volunteers cover 2 12-hour shifts. So we have a 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and a 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift. So if you're whatever shift you cover, basically what you're doing is you can do whatever you do throughout your day. You mm-hmm. just don't do things like take the kids in the car with you to go grocery shopping, because if you're on call and your dispatcher, your TIP dispatcher calls you and says, I have a call for you, you need to within 5 minutes get your path planned, right? Get it mapped out. Figure out where you're going, and then be heading in that direction. So, and then once we get on scene, our volunteers, again, they're providing that emotional and practical support. So we're reaching out to folks. We're providing a level of emotional support that most other people cannot bring to the table, simply because either A, they are involved, and it is very difficult to bring 100% emotional support to somebody when it's affecting you too, whatever mm-hmm. this tragedy is affecting you too.
Right.
And then the other thing is, because they aren't trained as our volunteers are, we definitely have very specific training that we do for our volunteers. TIP is a nationwide organization, so our volunteers aren't the only ones who do this. We have organizations in Las Vegas, San Diego, Orange County, Portland, Oregon, Portland, Maine, Boise, Idaho, Western North Carolina. So we have affiliates kind of across the country, and they all go through the same training. Everybody
so
does.
What are some of the things that, as examples, have your volunteers rolled up on?
Well, you mentioned earlier the Reno Air Races. So we were pretty new when that happened, that Reno Air Races crash. And so that was one of the, that was the first major event that our volunteers responded to. And we had 18 volunteers at the time because we were very new. And of those 18, I had 11 respond on scene at the air races that as soon as it had happened, as soon as we got dispatched. So we will respond to the major events, but as you mentioned, it's the daily disasters that people don't hear about. That's most often what we're going to go to. So it's when, you know, Martha wakes up to find her husband of 30 years lying dead next to her and calls 911. That's when you're going to see a tip volunteer. When there's a car crash, when somebody has been injured in a car crash and it's on, you never even hear about it. You don't read about it in the paper. You don't even know what happened unless you happen to drive by or you know the people involved. That's when tip volunteers are most often called out. So we'll respond to the big stuff. But it's the daily disasters that we really spend the most, the bulk of our time on.
But it's more than just that emotional support. It's even, you know, if somebody needs something, if, you know, in the middle of the night, you know, and someone's house is burning,
right,
you know, you're there with the blanket and you know, maybe a hot beverage or something for them.
Right. Yeah, we're going to show up on scene. So our goal is, as I said, get on the road within 5 minutes. We're trying to always have a 20-minute response time. So from when our dispatcher says, okay, Gabby, you have a call. Here's your address. Go. I want out the door in 5 minutes, and I want to be there within 20 minutes. That's my goal, because we want it to be pretty immediate on scene. And then once we are there, we're doing that. Reach out. Tell me your name. Tell me what happened. We're letting them do some basic processing. And yeah, it may be a matter of the situation is we're going to watch a fire burn their house down. That's not fun to do, but we're going to be there with them while it's going on. We're going to be able to explain the logistics of what the fire folks are doing. A lot of times a big issue is people just, they don't know the system. They don't understand the emergency response system because thankfully they haven't been involved in it at any level because they've never had a need to. And that's a good thing, right?
Well, and I think first responders, you know, have a tendency to get bad raps because of that.
Yeah.
It's like you sit there as a victim or, you know, a participant in the situation and you think, why is the officer not talking to me?
Right.
Why can't I get any answers? And your tip volunteer is there to have that arm around him and say, you know what, they're doing this, they're assessing the scene.
Right.
And it gives them that more of, you're not being ignored.
Yes, exactly. That goes back to the 32 hours in-class training. Our first week is all about emotional first aid, or what we call EFA, right? So we're basically taking them through our five skills that we want them to use, and the only thing we want them to use when they're on these calls. Week two is logistics. So we're going to bring in the police, the fire, the hospital staff. We're going to bring in the medical examiner, investigators. And we're going to talk about what do each of those systems do? How do they do it? Why do they do it? Right. And then we're going to talk about how can our volunteers best interact with those individuals on scene. So if we have a family watching their house burn down and they really have questions and you guys are in the heat of putting out the firemen are in the heat of putting out the fire, who do we reach out to on that scene without disrupting any emergency work going on?
Right.
Who are we reaching out to be able to get the information that this family needs right now? Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, that's a huge part of it is knowing the system. Tip volunteers know the system, know what to expect, so they can kind of anticipate, right? Okay, the police have been here, the paramedics have already left, fire has already left. Next people on scene will be the medical examiner. They're going to do their investigation. Once they're done, the mortuary will come to pick up your loved one, right? So being able to give them a heads up so they see what's coming. And you hit the nail on the head when you said that it's a lack of information. That's what often will cause what we call the second injury, when people feel like the system has done them wrong because they didn't treat them fairly. We know that in these situations, these family and these loved ones have a very high expectation from emergency responders and from everyone around them, including their family. They are demanding, tell me what's going on. Why aren't you talking? Why are you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? Why don't you do this? Why can't you do that? Right? It's a whole bunch of demands from them. And it's fair. Their world has been rocked.
Yeah.
So it's fair for them to feel like, give me more, people. I have a very high need right now, and you need to step up your game and meet me where I'm at. But most people on scene can't necessarily do that. And again, that is the family, the friends who are also affected by it. They're in the midst of their own tragedies. So to be expected for them to step up to the plate is asking a lot. Emergency responders have other jobs to do: put out the fire, investigate, resuscitate. They've got very important jobs that don't necessarily revolve around holding the hand of that person or sitting next to them explaining what's going on. Yeah. A tip volunteer is that person. We're going to be that person.
Well, stick around because we're going to tell you how you can be that person right after this on 92.3 FM in Yerington and Smith Valley and 99.1 FM Talk. Thanks for being here. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines are open at 884-9910 and Monica at 991fmtalk.com. This is your live and local FM Talk, and we're talking about helping your friends and neighbors right now and being a professional at it. Gabrielle Totten is my guest, and she is the executive director.
That's correct.
President? Executive director of the Trauma Intervention Program, also known as TIP, which is highly valuable to our local first responders, law enforcement, firefighters, paramedics, always called in when there is something traumatic happening. So, what is the process to actually become a volunteer? Does it cost anything? Does it? How much time does it take? And next week, you've got a training coming up.
Right. Yeah, it's a pretty basic process. You hop on our website, tipnnv.org. You click on the register to become a volunteer. And that's basic information. Give us your name, your phone number, your email address. And then once you do that, we'll respond with a whole bunch of information for you. In an email, so that you have to attend the training. All volunteers are required to attend the entire 32-hour in-class training, which starts next Thursday. It's a $50 fee for the training. I will say that I tell everybody, I think TIP training, at least week one, should be a part of everybody's life. It should just be, oh, you're getting your driver's license? Well, here, go do TIP training. Get some basic people skills. Let us just educate you a little bit, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Once you've paid the 50, so the first night really, and I really encourage people to come to night one, just even if you're like, I can't do the entire 2 week training, come to night one just to see if it's something you would be interested in, because you don't know what it's about until you at least give it a minute.
Right.
So on Thursday night, we're going to go from 6 to 8 p.m. We will just basically tell you what to expect from us and what we are going to expect from you as TIP volunteers. We'll take a break. At that break, everybody decides yes or no. Is this for me? Is this not for me? And we'll explain the shifts, what your coverage is each month, the continuing education meetings that must be attended. All of that good stuff will be included. Everybody makes a decision at 8 o'clock if they stay. We stay till 9 o'clock, do an introduction. Otherwise, you know, if you can't do it, you can't do it. But know that there are other ways to be involved. You can certainly help us with fundraising. We have a fundraising committee that meets monthly to come up with genius ideas of how to drag up money, right, and keep the program funded. But if you decide to stay, we will go Friday night, all day Saturday, all day Sunday of next week. We take a break for Monday, Tuesday. We come back Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and then all day Saturday. And that wraps up the in-class training. And then once you're done with that, we get you on the calendar. You do 3 months of field training. At the end of the field training, if you follow through on, you have to do a ride along with law enforcement. We'll do a background check. You'll provide me with some basic information, DMV report, insurance proof that you're legitimate. You have a driver's license, you have a vehicle, all that good stuff. And then once you're done with the 3 months, we graduate you as a full-fledged TIP volunteer, and you're able to go out on your own and do these calls.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, and I really do. I understand, because I always wanted to be a phlebotomist and draw blood. And the first time that, you know, I started poking somebody, I sucked at it. So it's like, you know what? This is not for me.
Right.
Some people will take on too much of the emotion.
Right.
And so they will be not beneficial necessarily to the victim of whatever trauma is going on.
Yeah.
Is this the only training for the year that's coming up?
This is the last training for 2019.
Last training.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we try to just do two a year. They're expensive and obviously a little draining on our resources to make happen. So we just do two a year. So we will do, this is our fall, and then we'll do a spring in 2020. We don't have dates for that yet.
But you'll let me know.
Yeah, we will definitely let you know. So it's pretty... I just really encourage people to show up at least on Thursday night. Give us a couple hours of your time just to see what it's about.
Yeah.
See if it's something you're interested in. Yes, there are people who come along and who get too emotionally invested in it. But that's one of the things we teach you in the training, is let's talk about who you are as an individual, what your tendencies are, what your helping tendencies are, and how we can circumnavigate those so that you stay on task on these calls, which is, this is not about you. This is somebody else's tragedy. Leave it that way. When you leave the scene, you leave that tragedy behind, because it's not about you.
Yeah. How can people participate?
They can hop online at tipnnv.org.
So tipnnv.org.
That's it. And if they just click on the register, it kind of scrolls across that home screen. You'll see it go by. I want to volunteer, how to register. You just click on that and you can do it all online. You can pay your $50 fee right then if you choose to. If you don't, no big deal. You show up on the first night and we'll get you your binder at the break if you decide you want to stay and collect your money, and then you're good to go.
And that first one is Thursday night.
Yeah, Thursday night, next Thursday.
Let's
do it.
This coming Thursday.
That's right.
All right. Thank you so much, Gabrielle, for coming in. Gabrielle.
It's okay. That's not the first time.
I know. Gabby.
Gabby's easier.
Gabby Totten, Executive Director of the Trauma Intervention Program here in Northern Nevada. So that's TIPNNV.org. And just go to the organization site just to find out more about what they do and how you can help in different ways, because it does, you know.
It matters.
It's a nonprofit organization, so in other words, it costs you money.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Gabrielle, thank you so much for coming in.
I really appreciate you having me.
We are the home of Fox News, and hopefully there are no tragedies going on in Washington, which, well, that could actually come at any moment with the Democrats. KKFT, it's 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. Thanks for joining me on this ride for this frightening Friday. Yes, it's October. Yay! We get to go forward with all the good things. And, you know, that's the one thing that has just been irritating me over the years. And that is people trying to get involved in tradition. Okay, Halloween is October 31st. It's tradition. It's All Hallows' Eve. Yes, for some, they don't recognize it because it was a pagan holiday, and we turned it into something for the kids and to be able to go out and be scary and spooky. And if we don't teach kids how to be scared and how to move forward and conquer those fears, then we kind of are getting what we're getting with all these snowflakes around. Yes, I have been a princess before. That was usually actually in my older years, a couple years ago, actually. But I always prefer the vampires and the monsters and the costumes like that rather than the superheroes. And yeah, it's great to dress up. You can go to Comic-Con if you want to dress like a superhero. Do something fun for Halloween. Fear teaches us how to be stronger. But I'm getting off on my tangent here of what I wanted to say is leave Halloween alone. Please, it doesn't have to be a Friday or Saturday night. Let kids wear their costumes to school. Let them show off the next day what they got. I grew up with Halloween being on the 31st. Let it be on the 31st and teach what the traditions are as well. Come on, people. It seems to be more of a deal here because, you know, the 31st is Nevada Day. We'll recognize Nevada Day on the Friday or Saturday. I mean, actually, yeah, I think it's recognized on the, Friday the 25th now? I gotta look that up. No, that wouldn't be right. So that's the deal. It doesn't matter if you have a state holiday or something else falling on the 31st. Keep Halloween as the tradition, as it has been, as it hopefully will continue to be. Okay, I was right. It is the 25th. It will be observed on the 25th, Friday, because you know for us here in Nevada, I mean, it's not a national holiday, obviously, but it is a holiday for us here in the state. So, and the parade on the 26th. You know Evan's Broadcast Company is going to be out there. yeah, we're going to have our alt van with Chris Payne, and we'll have our fun 100.1 van with Connie and her friends. Isn't it Connie and friends in the morning? So she will be out there in the parade as well. I'll be there, and Bill Tanner from The Wolf, he'll be out there with us as well. So you'll have the whole team. Just watch for the vans and the American flag, and you know that's us out there. Come on out and enjoy. This is what I was saying the other day. There should only be three parades during the year. Three parades. You've got your Heritage Parade for us. That's Nevada Day. You've got the Veterans Day Parade so we can celebrate and honor our veterans. And then you've got an everything parade where it did, whether you're gay or green or you want to celebrate aliens or, you know, whatever you're celebrating in a parade, that's where it all takes place. You have your gay pride parade, you have your straight pride parade all together, and then we just celebrate each other. How about that? Three parades, that's all you get through the year. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. If there's something that you want to talk about today, please, 884-9910, 884-9910. I wanted to bring up another email that I got from yesterday about the homeless. See, maybe I was presenting it wrong yesterday, that it's what we're looking at with this Molotov cocktail and the firebombing, which, you know, fire department says they're looking into. To me, that is not necessarily the homeless issue that we have downtown. Okay? This is a drug and squatter situation that we've got out in the valleys, that we've got out in the ravines and the different places that are just on the outskirts, where people think that they're not going to be bothered, that if they set up shop, if they set up a tent, they can intimidate the few neighbors that might be around and nobody will bother them. But since we talked about this and since this incident happened on Sunday, there has been more traffic out in that area, and even Raven has been flying over. So, who knows? Maybe that camp will be gone by the time we get out there on Monday and I do my show live. And that's what we are still going to do. We're taking the show out Monday, myself and Paul White and Tim McGivney from Quality of Life Reno. And we are going to be out in force. We're taking some clergy out there. We're taking anybody who wants to go. Anybody who wants to see the things that we are seeing, take the pictures for themselves, the pictures that QOL-Reno.org has. These things aren't doctored. This is what is happening in your backyard. And if we continue to let it happen, it's just going to be a bigger problem. We're going to be the ones that people are saying, oh, Reno used to be such a nice place to go. But now they're just like San Francisco, and they're just like L.A. and Portland, so we'll go someplace else. You'd think as a tourist industry here, we wouldn't want to see that happen. Now, yes, Paul gave his description of what happened and when the law enforcement came out. We know law enforcement has their hands tied. We know it's the higher-ups. I would never disparage our deputies, our troopers, our officers. I am from a background of law enforcement. I grew up underneath a dispatch center. That's where, you know, I slept when my mom had to work graveyards and there was no one to watch me. I was raised with the problems that they face, with, you know, the separation sometimes from the community. Law enforcement is there to protect us, to serve with us, and they need to be treated with respect. But these homeless people, these drug dealers, these squatters, they're not respecting them as well. Attitudes have to change. And we are going out, and it's posted on the location where we're meeting at a I don't know what it is, actually. I just have the address if you would like to if you would like to meet there. So I'm going to have to put that into my GPS. But we're going to be out there on Monday. So go to QOL-Reno.org. See it for yourself. We're calling it a field trip. So we're taking a field trip, and we're meeting at North Virginia, if you would like to go along with us. Now, we don't know what's going to happen out there. So if you do want to go, you need to sign a liability waiver. Just saying. You know, if they're willing to throw a Molotov cocktail at another person and person's car, remember the person was in the car. So I got a lot of flack for saying attempted murder. I guess that has to be, you know, thought out. And well, it's, you know, somebody had to build that Molotov cocktail. Somebody was visibly in the car. They were doing paperwork and, yeah, shutting their eyes for a little bit, waiting for others to show up. But it was obvious someone was in the car. Someone built a Molotov cocktail. Somebody firebombed that car. And it went up in flames. And the person in the car just escaped. You know, his hand is all burnt up. It's dangerous in some parts of our community. And we're not going to stand for that. We should be able to go out on the trails. We should be able to go out into the desert. We should be able to enjoy our home and not let criminals believe that they have the control. So, if you want to join us, if you want to see what is really out there, what has been grossly underreported, then by all means, join us. For the people that have emailed me that want to go, I will send you the address, but we are meeting someplace for our field trip that I can't seem to find the address. It's 4400 something, or I don't know. It's out there. So email me if you want it, and I'll send it to you. But this is what happens when you open your eyes and you just stop listening to what the media is telling you and the things that they want you to know that they're getting from the elected representatives. Because it goes deeper than that. Oh, actually, Paul's calling in, so he probably heard me babbling about not knowing where where it is. So we'll get Paul on the line. And I do wanted to tell you that for the people who are going out there, Doughboy's Donuts is concerned about the issue, and they want us to be, you know, full when we go out. So Doughboy's Donuts is actually donating breakfast and donuts to us. So, Paul, thank you for calling in when I can't remember things. Where are we meeting at?
Our pleasure, Monica. It's going to be 9915 North Virginia Street.
9915 North Virginia Street. Is that just an address? Is that a business? What is that?
Corner right there. There's several buildings there. One of them is a salvage yard, different things. But it's one of them is like a salvage or auction, a Copart or something like that's the name of it. And there's another building there, but they can't miss it. It's kind of a, you know, rural stretch of North Virginia, and they'll see all of us caravans there.
All right. Well, someone's going to have to drive me around because I'm going to be broadcasting live. So, okay. What time do you want people to meet there?
If they could meet us at 9:45 would be great. And then we'll have time to get organized, sign waivers, and you'll get your show on the air on time.
All right. I like being on time. And Tim, we can talk to people.
Tim is volunteering to have you in the seat next to him in his ATV. So you're well taken care of for transportation.
All right. That sounds good to me. And dress warm, people. I have a feeling it's going to be a chilly day, but we're going to have lots of donuts courtesy of Doughboy. So I appreciate that. It's, you know, the public getting involved. Paul, I will see you on Monday at probably more like 9:30. I like to be early.
I'll be there.
All right. Thank you, Paul White, QOL-Reno.org, Quality of Life Reno. And that's what we're all striving for, really, isn't it? A quality of life here that we want to be able to pass on. It's KKFT 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Yes, we are going all over Northern Nevada, and there's a lot of things I want to cover here very quickly as I was going through my emails. Dan, you've got a message from David. Start putting the intro music on, especially the Friday podcast, because he wants to hear his song. And you know what song that is for Friday. So start putting that on the podcast. I'd appreciate it. And so would David. Love this one from, actually went to the boss first, which is absolutely fine because that's how you go through the website. John, you are absolutely right. John writes, we are sick and tired of all this BS. Left Dems and media depend on the stupidity of citizens to ignore their actions with no reaction. So John wants the address of where we're meeting up on Monday. Thank you and mahalo to you as well, John. If you want to make a difference, this is what you do. And going out to Heiko just sent me a quick email as well. As a kid in Chicago, we kids start 2 days before Halloween. Folks in the neighborhood weren't prepared, so they gave us money, like quarters and dimes. When they asked why we were early, we just said on vacation, out of state, and it worked. So, hey, Heiko, I totally believe that. And come on, that's why most of us we've already got our Halloween candy. Besides picking out the good stuff right now. Yeah, you'll notice if you come to my house, all of the Almond Joys are already gone out of the little mix. And I give the good stuff, plus I give handfuls. I don't give like one to each person. I let kids just reach in there and grab a handful because that's what it was about. It was going out to the neighbors and getting candy, not apples, not toothbrushes, not quarters and dimes. We want candy. Walking up and down those hills, we're working for it. Now, if I see you show up in a vehicle, that's okay. You still get candy at my house. That's part of the fun of Halloween. And I love seeing the different costumes. So we got Heritage Day in Gardnerville Saturday. Go on out, check out the coffin races and the just all kinds of stuff. They're going to have craft booths out there. They're going to have food. They're going to have stretcher races as well. All kinds of great things at Heritage Park. Go out there and have a good time starting in the morning and going until the afternoon. Also, you've got the outhouse races up in Virginia City. You've got all of the different hauntings and ghost walks going on in Virginia City for the month of October. How fun is that? I love this time of year. Just bundle up if you are going to be out and about. So, copy that. I'm done for the day. Have a great day. Be safe, whatever you're going to do this weekend. And there's a lot to do. You want to find out more, go on to carsonnow.org. They've got lists of events there. Log on to whatever website you can and just be safe. Know I'll be thinking about you, and I might be changing my schedule around too to go down to those coffin races in Gardnerville. You got to check that out. And I will be back with you on Monday. It's put up or shut up. We're going to be going out, and I will be doing my show live. That's why we're doing it on a Monday in the morning, because I will be doing my show live from the North Valleys, and we will go to these different encampments where there are drugs, where there are syringes, where there are squatters, where there is trash and just people tearing up Northern Nevada. Until then, have a great weekend and be safe and smile. Because even though I sometimes go a little bit overboard, we still live in a great state and a great country.